Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the Bible says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let me just read that one more time. If the iron be blunt, now we get the picture of a man with an axe and working in the timber, working in the woods, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And I want to speak on that subject tonight, if the iron be blunt. And I think maybe some of us tonight can relate to this a little bit. We know what it means to become blunt, spiritually speaking, to have the edge of our Christianity become dull. And maybe it's that way with somebody right now. And if not, it probably will get that way sometime. So there's some things here that we really will be profitable and helpful to us. And may the Lord just bless the reading of His Word and help us all to get what we can from this tonight. Please be seated. Now, this book of Ecclesiastes is just one of the greatest books that I've ever studied, that I've ever read, that I've ever tried to preach through. It's almost unbelievable to me that all of the years I've been preaching, when I look at my files and notes and so on and so forth, in 40 years, to see that I've preached no more than a half a dozen sermons from the book of Ecclesiastes until beginning this series. But it is a great book. And the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes begins with announcing the subject has to do with living life as a believer under the sun. And we've read enough already about Solomon's experiences that he's sharing now as the Spirit of God helps him to express it like the Spirit wants it all expressed. Solomon's experience under the sun. He had all of the money, all of the opportunity, the wherewithal, even the intelligence to delve in to everything that he might have crossed his mind, seeking for satisfaction, gratification. So let's remember this about Solomon. Just a real quick review of Solomon. When he started out, he was so sharp spiritually that when God told him he could have anything that he wanted as he was getting ready to take over as king in place of his father David, he was so keen spiritually without any hesitation, it seems. Solomon said, just give me wisdom to rule your people. And because he didn't ask for long life, or he didn't ask for riches, or he didn't ask for power and prestige for himself, he didn't ask for any of those things that might have come to other people's minds, God was so pleased with what he requested that God gave him everything else. It was under Solomon, was able to bring the kingdom to the zenith of power. He became known as the wisest man. That there was people like the Queen of Sheba, other nationalities looked on in awe and wonder at what he was able to achieve, the happiness of his kingdom. And but then somehow, as sharp as he was, something happened and he took a little detour and he began to wonder, I wonder if there's something else. Can I just ask you a question real quick? Here's a child of God who's going along on a high plane spiritually. All of a sudden, they get it into their mind. Maybe there's something in life I'm missing. Maybe there's something better than walking with God and being attuned to God. Maybe there's something else that if I could go through all of my life and miss this. Now, where do you think that idea would come from? The devil. Only the devil. See, even a man as great as Solomon, somebody that knew the heights of spiritual living, was not invulnerable to the devil getting into his head. And you and I shouldn't think that we're somehow invulnerable We may be on the mountaintop spiritually right now, but that doesn't mean that the devil can't put something in our heads. And so he goes through these and recounts all of these, his search and all of these things that he tried. We've talked about it. All of the pleasure he tried, the building projects, everything he got involved, tried to entertain himself with every kind of entertainment there was, every pleasure and power trip he could take. And he just kept coming up drier and drier and drier. And he's accounting all of this and giving us wisdom for living life under the sun. And here he's already spoken in this chapter about these things. But here's what I wanted to give you, a quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, commenting on the book of Ecclesiastes, said this. He said, the message of Ecclesiastes is, if you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. I didn't mean aim at heaven in the sense of working for salvation. He meant it in the sense of what Jesus said when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Then all of these things will be added unto you. C.S. Lewis said the message of Ecclesiastes is, if you will aim at heaven, then you'll get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you get nothing. And that's what Solomon has found out. So we're presented here. We don't need to go into much background here. He's been talking about error, the capacity of human rulers for error and how they commit error, the different ways they commit it, and the consequences when human rulers commit error. But now he's speaking kind of general terms when he says in verse 10, and this is something everybody can relate to, if the iron be blunt, especially those brought up on a farm or a ranch or something like that, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, here's the three things I want to talk about tonight from this passage of Scripture that has to do if the iron be blunt. Now, we don't need to have a raise of hands or anything like that. But again, there might be somebody here tonight and your edge is not as sharp as it once was spiritually. You're not, if I can put it this way, when it comes to your Christian life, you're not cutting it like you used to, spiritually speaking. And the iron may have become blunt. Well, three things that I want to say about this verse tonight. Number one, what it presents to us is the reality of blunt iron. If the iron be blunt, in other words, it can happen. It can become a reality. Maybe it's been a reality, or it is a reality, or it will be a reality, no matter where you are spiritually now, that the iron will be blunt, spiritually speaking. And the possibility is presented here. You know, an axe. I've got two or three axes at home. I pretty much grew up around that kind of thing where people use axes to chop down trees. I remember growing up on my grandparents' farm. My grandpa walked out of the house for anything. I mean, if he just went out to use the facilities. And I mean, went out to use the facilities because that's where the facilities were. Even at that, just going out was as natural as anything could be. Like for us to pick up our car keys, he'd pick up the axe, leaned up against the wall on the porch outside the door. Carry it with him out there. You never knew when you might find a snake or a rabid skunk or anything else. Maybe decide to split a little bit of wood and carry it back on the way back. But the idea of an axe becoming blunt and then it's harder to use the axe is something that you don't have to have grown up on a farm to be able to relate to that. So it's a reality. And Jesus had a lot to say about blunt iron, if you will, or about dullness. And he spoke in Matthew 13, verse 15, he mentioned people who have ears that are dull of hearing. Now, I think that that situation exists maybe more than it ever has among churches today. People who are dull of hearing. And Jesus addressed people in his day. Now, let me just mention, if it's a reality that iron can become blunt, and it is a reality, then how does iron become blunt? Now, just keeping the idea of the axe, the woodsman's axe, in our mind, how does iron become blunt? How does an axe head become blunt? Well, some iron, some blades, etc., become blunt, or are blunt. It's a reality, and it's because they've always lacked an edge. In other words, you can go to a store. I remember going to a store years and years ago and getting a post mall, one of these that is not a mall that you drive fence poles with, but one to split wood with. And I looked at that thing and I thought, this thing's as blunt as it can be. I mean, there's nothing that even resembled an edge on it. And I found out it was just made to be that way. Sometimes iron may be blunt because it's always been blunt. Now, just so you follow what I'm getting at here, there might be some people who say, I'm as spiritually blunt and dull as I can be. But the problem is that you've never been anything but that. In other words, there might be somebody that's lost. Now, just as surely, Philippians 2 and 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you can't work out your salvation if you've never been saved. And neither can you wet the edge. And to wet the edge doesn't mean holding under a faucet. It's talking about taking a whetstone, W-H-E-T, not W-E-T, and using that to sharpen or hone a blade, edge on a blade. You can't work out salvation that you never had. You can't wet the edge where there's no edge to wet. So, again, think about the reality of iron being blunt. Some iron has always lacked an edge. Some iron has just simply lost its edge. I think most of us know something, some degree about this, that you can be going along on a pretty good spiritual plane. You're excited, you're enthusiastic about things that pertain to God and the Christian life, and you're keen for it, you're interested, and you want to grow, and you have some spiritual ambition. Then by and by, that edge begins to get dull. And you don't listen to sermons like you used to listen to. You don't get excited and relate to gospel music when it's presented, the spiritual hymns, like it used to. And the idea of people being lost and going to hell, that doesn't touch you like it used to. That's because the iron has become blunt. Once it was sharp, but now, to one degree or another, it's lost its edge. Now, here's the good news. The bluntest edge can be sharpened. Amen. I mean, the bluntest can be sharpened. But here's a warning to believers in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 11. Now, the warning is this. Wherever we are, we'll say more along these lines in a minute, but wherever we are spiritually now, we may be doing real well. But it's possible for us to lose our edge spiritually. In Hebrews 5 and verse 11, the Bible is talking about Christ. If you read the verses just before verse 11, it's all about Jesus Christ. And there it says, speaking of Christ, Paul said, of whom we have many things to say. Now, you read those verses preceding about Christ, his priesthood, and all of these glorious things that are said about the Son of God, our Savior. Then Paul says to these people, of whom we have many things. He wanted to say a whole lot more about Jesus to these people, but he said many things to say and hard to be, but they're hard to be uttered. See, you are dull of hearing. In other words, here are people, he wanted to say so much more to them, but he's looking at them and they look like they're bored to death. They look like they're not getting anything out of it. And furthermore, something speaks to his spirit and says they're not tuned in. They're not getting it. So Paul says, I want to say so much more to you about Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to. Because it'd just be so hard to try to get it across, seeing you're dull of hearing. So here's a real reward. He didn't say they weren't saved or anything like that. He just says they're dull of hearing. Now, again, this can be a common malady among God's people and in churches today. This dullness of hearing. In Mark 8 and 18, here's what Jesus said to his very own disciples, to those that were closest to him. He said, having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. In other words, you're not even seeing these things, and you're not even hearing what I'm saying to you. So he says, and do you not remember? Now think about those three things he said. Here's Andrew and Peter and James and John. And he says, having eyes, see you not. Having ears, hear you not. And do you not remember? See what they'd done. He had just fed the multitude a few days earlier. Now they're out somewhere else a few days later. And there's a whole bunch of people gathered around. And they just witnessed the miracle of feeding these thousands on a handful of fish and bread. A few days later, they say, what are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do? The people are hungry. We've got all of these people here, and we don't have any food. Jesus said, can't you remember anything? What was their problem? Well, their problem was they had dimmed eyes. They were dulled ears. And they had a diminished memory. Now, we could just check ourselves out from time to time and say, is my vision dimmed spiritually from what it used to be? Am I duller of hearing than I have been? Have I forgotten the goodness and the faithfulness of God and His promises? And I don't remember them like I did at one time. So here is dulled iron. And the reason for it is because it's sometimes it's always lacked an edge. Sometimes it's just lost its edge. And what do we do when we've lost our edge? This sermon would last a whole lot longer if I would give you some of my own personal experiences about losing the edge. But I think, again, we can all relate to it one degree or another. What do we do when we've lost the edge? What if somebody tonight is thinking, you know what, that's where I am, really. I'm dull spiritually. I'm dull of hearing. I'm still listening, but I'm dull of hearing. And I don't see things like I ought to see things. And so on. Well, what can be done? Or why does this happen? What causes the dullness? Now, I'm just going to be simple-minded enough to just go back and look at that old axe leaning up against the porch or sticking out of a block of wood and think about that. What makes an axe go dull? Well, here's one thing. And what makes an axe go dull can make a Christian go dull spiritually. I'm only going to mention two things because they're the simplest things. One thing that can make the iron go blunt is a misapplication of the iron. In other words, if you take that axe, as sharp as it might be right now, and you take it out and start chopping the concrete blocks with it, that's not where it's supposed to be. If you go take that an axe and you go out and start applying it to steel cable, it's going to go blunt. Now, you see what I'm getting at here? Believers can't apply the gifts that God's given them, the talents that God has given them. Believers can't take their life and apply it to the things of this world and not expect to go blunt. Does that make sense? Sure it does. Now, you can't apply your life, concentrate, focus on things of the world, and not go spiritually blunt. That's one reason that an accident blade can go blunt. The iron will go blunt because of misapplication. That'll cause dullness. Another thing is, well, let me just go back to that just a minute. If you're, just make sure everybody understands, if you're applying your thoughts and your focus and your concentration and your interest and your energies to things of this world, don't be surprised if you go spiritually blunt. Because that's a misapplication of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, here's another thing. A lack of maintenance will make an axe blade go dull. Missing maintenance. You can't just neglect the axe. Now, I've had axes that Zach knows. I had took one down to him where he's got a grind thing in his shop, and I electric grinder, and I said, son, I need you to put an edge on this. I mean, it had nicks out of the blade. Axes can get rusty. Just by not doing anything, just taking it for granted, day after day, time after time, getting the axe, using the axe, you're just using it, you're taking it for granted, and not doing anything to maintain the axe. We're talking about spiritual maintenance now, to keep ourselves having an edge spiritually in our life. You just can't take it for granted that the edge is going to remain sharp without some attention. What that means is you have to see to it that the axe stays sharp. I remember watching my grandpa. I mean, he took care of his tools. He took care of everything because he didn't have lots of money to replace things. Those old timers took care of things. He was constantly busy. If he had anything that could be called spare time, he would go down to the tack room in the barn and start oiling up, saddle soaping his harness and his all of those things, the hanes, making sure there was some oil on those little chains on the hanes. You know what a hame is? Ask Brother Clyde. He'll tell you what a hame is. And the horse collars and so on and so forth. You got to take care of stuff. He had a little contraption that looked like a sawhorse, probably built long before I was ever born, like a sawhorse, and had an old tractor seat on it and a wheel with pedals. It wasn't for getting your daily exercise. It wasn't a stationary bike. I never knew it back then, but that was the closest thing I ever got to a station, knowing what a stationary bike was. But it had that, and as you pedaled it, it had a big stone, it's more than a whetstone, what do you got, a grindstone in the middle. And as you pedaled with your feet, that stone would go round and round and round. My grandpa had the art of sharpening an axe mastered. He'd take that axe, the handle be out like that, and he'd have the blade up against his bib overalls and wedged down just right, and he'd hold it just like it needed to be held. He'd pedal with those feet, and that thing would go around and around and around, and he'd every now and then he'd reach over and get a Prince Albert tobacco can, one of those flat cans about that high and about that wide, and the rainwater would keep it filled up. And he'd pour a little water on that, and he'd pedal and sharpen that axe. And he was taking care of his axe. Those old farmers would keep buckets, or not huge buckets, but buckets big enough and filled with old oil enough, they'd stick their axes down in that oil to soak overnight, to stay in that oil until they were ready to use them again, to maintain them, to keep them from rusting. When I was thinking about this, my mind was going back, thinking about all of this, and thinking, making the application of how we need to maintain ourselves spiritually. My mind went back to that can of oil and how he'd put his axe in the oil. We know what the oil is a type of. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. So spiritual maintenance is something that is that's in view here. You got to keep your axe in the right place. You can't leave it laying in the yard. You can't. You got it in the wrong place. Bad things will happen. They'll get rained on. They'll get snowed on. And lots of things like that. So that's the reality of an axe, of the iron getting blunt. Well, what's the remedy? Well, the result of the axe going blunt. We get to the remedy last. It's a reality that the iron can get blunt. And what happens? Verse 10 says, and if he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. There are the operative words right there. If the iron is blunt, if the axe head is dull, what do you have to do? You have to put forth more strength. Abraham Lincoln was talking about his youth, and he said, if I had 6 hours to cut down a trees, he said, I'd spend 4 of those hours sharpening my axes. Otherwise, it's real hard work. You ladies know how hard it is just to use a dull paring knife or butcher knife in the kitchen. It's so nice to have them sharp. And so verse 10 says, then must he put to more strength. Now, blunt iron, listen carefully. Number one, here's the result of the iron being blunt. Number one, blunt iron results in an unsatisfactory, inadequate result. I mean, here you are chopping at the tree, trying to split wood, and it's just not working well with a dull axe. So, how that works in our spiritual life, if we're dull, if we're dull iron, spiritually speaking, our spiritual life is going to be rather disappointing. The progress we make is going to be disappointing. And it's going to be discouraging. Now, there's a difference between something being disappointing and even then being discouraging. Somebody's out there with a dull old axe and they're trying to get work done and they're thinking, I should be a lot farther along than I am now. It's disappointing. I thought I would be here. I'm not. Then you go from the disappointment to discouragement. And that's where people can get in their spiritual life. Disappointed that you haven't made any more progress. You're not being able to get her done, spiritually speaking. And then discouragement sets in. Well, blunt iron produces an inadequate and unsatisfactory result. But here's the second thing blunt iron results in: an undue and inordinate effort. Now, again, if you're cutting wood with a dull axe, you're going to wear yourself out twice as fast. It's going to be hard. And as a Christian, if the iron is blunt, It's just going to wear you. It shouldn't be wearing you. It shouldn't be that hard. See, the Christian life should not be as hard for a lot of people as it seems like it is, as they would tell you that it is. Well, maybe the problem is blunt iron. And when the iron is blunt, it requires more effort, an inordinate effort. In other words, it results in the Christian life, an unnecessary struggle. Because here's why. We're doing it in the flesh. It'd be like going out and trying to cut a tree with karate chops of our hand. The flesh. Instead of using a good axe that we have. So, it results in an unnecessary struggle. And here's something else that's involved. Does any of this language sound familiar? When a person's trying to cut wood with a blunt iron, it creates a strain. The Christian life can become a struggle and put a strain on people that really ought not to be there. And the only reason that it would be there is because of blunt iron. And the iron has become blunt for all of those reasons that we talked about. But as we said earlier, a blunt edge, a dull edge has to be sharpened. And here's the remedy for blunt iron. Look at the last part of verse 10. It says, wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, here's somebody that goes into the woods. They haven't been paying attention. It's possible. You got several axes there. You pick one of them up. You haven't been paying attention. Maybe you just got the one you use all the time. You haven't been maintaining it. You haven't been checking it out. And you take your axe and you go out into the woods to work with your axe. And you're just having a hard time getting anywhere. It used to be so much easier. You used to be able to cut so much deeper, so much cleaner with those cuts, so much quicker. But now it's anything but clean and deep and quick in your spiritual life. You're out there with that axe, and it's just a hard, it's a struggle, it's a strain. And you look and you say, well, here's my problem. I got dull iron. The thing's dull as it can be. It's gotten dull. Okay, well, I'll keep on going and keep on cutting. But the Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. If you saw somebody out in the woods and they're just having such a hard time, you say, what is the problem? You could have normally cut three trees down the time it's taking you to cut that one. What is your problem? And the person was, I think my problem is this thing, this axe is dull. Apparently this axe is dull. And so it just goes back to cutting it. What would you be thinking right about then? Have you no common sense? How about stopping and putting an edge on that blade? That's what this means when it says wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, when the iron is blunt, wisdom has to be, number one, it has to be found to deal with the problem of blunt iron. And the kind of wisdom spoken of here is the kind of wisdom spoken of in the book of James, in chapter 3 and in verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom that comes down from above. That's the kind of wisdom we want to find. We want to go to somebody else and say, you know, my axe is blunt and it's dull. Is there anything I can do to offset that? And the worldly wise person says, why don't you just try to make it look better? Why don't you curse the axe? Well, that's the wrong kind of wisdom directing there. How do you get that wisdom? Again, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. So, where do we find wisdom that we need for dealing with blunt iron? spiritually speaking? Well, contemplation in our, of our Bibles. That's where we find wisdom, is in the Word of God. It's interesting. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Contemplation of the Bible. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6. If we want to get wisdom, how to get an edge on our spiritual blade, we need to get ourselves in the Word of God again. Let the Holy Spirit do the work that He does when God's people are getting into His Word with a seeking heart. Secondly, and there are others, I'll just use these two. One way to get the edge back, and I think this is very much underrated and appreciated, for a dull-edged Christian who's struggling and straining but has known better times spiritually, what are they going to do? Well, they need to get in their Bible. Wisdom's profitable to direct. And here's the second thing. Communication with the brethren. Amen. We've already been to that passage of Scripture here in Ecclesiastes that says two are better than one. Did you know that's why one of the biggest reasons Jesus established the church? That's why people need to get this and get it well. We're not talking about an invisible church. Jesus organized a literal, visible church where people could, among other things, have fellowship one with another. And if one gets dull, they can get sharpening up. In fact, Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. Now, that's not going to work when Christians are standing around and all they ever have to talk about is the ball games. It's not going to work. You say, well, I'm a Christian. We're discussing the ball game. It's not going to give you a spiritual edge. It's going to dull you because you're misapplying. You're laying yourself out on the wrong things too much. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Now, there are people like this, beloved. I want you to listen to me carefully. There are people in churches who consider themselves to be loners. And I just want to tell you right now, most of those people don't want to be loners. But there are people, they say, you know what, I'm just going to be a loner, and I don't want to get too close to anybody. I just kind of come into church, and as soon as it's over, I leave as discreetly as I can. I just get out as quick as I can. Come in, get out. Come in, get out. I don't participate in much else that's going on. So you are missing the boat. Amen. And see, for those of us who have more of an extrovert nature than that, a good spiritual extrovert quality about us, we need to help others like that. A person who says, you know, I'm not going to get close to anybody. I'm just going to kind of show up and leave and so on and so forth. Well, you're not going to be able to benefit and keep sharp. Sermons will keep you sharp. Fellowship with the brethren will help keep you sharp. And so on. Definitely the Word of God will help keep you sharp. Now, good spiritual conversation. See, we live in a day when a lot of Christians have just got to, they don't even understand this. Good spiritual conversation will stimulate you spiritually and it'll sharpen you spiritually. And you may, I mean, even if you got to go to a book and read good books because there's nobody around to either have a spiritual conversation with, or there might be people around, and you get past what the cardinals are doing and they don't know what to say. Then you got to go to books and read good spiritual, uplifting, instructive, inspirational books to get that sharpening that you need. George Matthew Adams said, fortify yourself with a flock of friends. You can select them at random, write to one, dine with one, visit one, or take your problems to one. There's always at least one who will understand, inspire, and give you the lift you may need at the time. Take advantage of the opportunities to communicate with brethren on spiritual things. Secondly, after wisdom needs to be found, that's the remedy. The Bible says wisdom's profitable to direct. Wisdom has to be followed. You can find wisdom, but not follow it. People can find a Bible, but not follow it. You can find good counsel and good instruction, but not follow it. Somebody can come to you and say, hey, you don't have to work that hard on cutting this tree. Here's what you do. Here's a whetstone. Go over and sit down on that stump. I'll show you how to sharpen your blade. When they can show you how to sharpen your blade, you do it this way. As soon as they're gone, you go back to hacking away with your dull blade. So wisdom has to be followed. We can't substitute our own solution for what wisdom dictates. Now, here's the way some people do it. They say, my iron is blunt. I'm not spiritually sharp. I've lost my edge. I know what I need to do. I need to sing louder when it's singing time. I need to put on a better front. I need to whistle a happy tune. That'll help. No. The Bible, that's just human understanding. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, lean not to your own understanding, but rather trust in God. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Many devices. If the iron is blunt, we don't need to look for any cheap, easy, superficial, fleshly kind of ways to put a salve on something, you know, to make it look better than it is. You don't need to paint an edge on an axe. You need to put an edge on an axe. And here's what wisdom does. The Bible says wisdom is always profitable to direct. That means this kind of wisdom will always direct us, if our iron is blunt, to a satisfactory solution, and it'll always be a simple solution. I was thinking about, a simple wisdom leads to a simple solution. Any of you hear this little story? I read it on the internet. Apparently, President Obama went into an elementary school. He went into a little second grade class. Of course, he's doing his propagandizing about taking away people's guns and the right to bear arms and destroying the Second Amendment. So he's in there with all these little kids. That's what communists do. You can go ahead and put this one posted on the internet. And he said to all these little children, he sat down in the middle of them and he started clapping his hands real slow. He said, every time I clap my hands, there is a child somewhere in the world being killed by a gun. One of the little second graders said, stop clapping your hands, dummy. Amen. There's a simple solution. Amen. Wisdom gives us simple solutions. See, the thing about that little illustration there, Obama couldn't have clapped his hands fast enough to account for all of the babies that are killed by abortion. Right. Simple solution. One of the best things I've heard last week was my wife said this to me, read it off a magazine or something, I don't know where she got it. She said, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, water your own grass. Amen. I mean, if the iron is blunt, sharpen the edge. I mean, the solution is simple. The iron's blunt, sharpen the iron. Let's all stand together.